Let's open the Word of God tonight. We'll be in John chapter 13. So when you find that, stand together with me, John 13. We'll read our text beginning in verse 31, all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 31 to 38, John 13. We're there. Say amen.
Amen.
Ooh, say amen like that during my preaching.
Amen.
It gets me excited. Not just when I say I'm almost done. Amen. No, don't say amen then. All right, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." If you're confused so far, we'll sort that out for you here in just a few minutes. God is going to be glorified in a little while, and the disciples needed to hear that. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. And now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Can I say that verse 34 and 35, it ought to be really a theme, maybe not the theme, but a theme of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, that we would love each other? It's mission critical, mission critical. Verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Of course, Peter has no idea what he's talking about. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." You know, Peter heard Jesus say he was going to leave. He got stuck there, like we talked about this morning. He just got stuck there. He missed the most important part of this. Jesus said, you need to learn how to love each other. I mean, when people see you, they ought to see people that are different, because there's a kind of love there that's not a normal kind of love. That is the most important part of what Jesus is saying here. And Peter missed it. And so tonight, let's let God work in our hearts and remember this great thought. Everyone needs a good friend in church. Not just a friend, a good friend. You say, "Pastor, I don't have a good friend here." Well, you need to. So we need to figure it out. So we're going to work together. Let God open your heart tonight, and perhaps you'll get some help on this particular subject, and then we'll pray for the months and weeks to come also. Father, we pray your blessings on the message. Help our hearts to be in tune to get from this as you would lead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I did say that everyone needs a friend in church. And as I have been in ministry for a long time, this has been a constant theme in the ministry. Whenever I was a youth director, we played a game called Animal Hunt. I don't know if y'all guys remember ever playing the game Animal Hunt. Basically, what happens in this game is you have all your adults out in the yard, and what they have is this pantyhose leg, because they're, you know, one of the legs cut off, pantyhose filled up with flour. And they're just standing in the yard with this pantyhose with flour in the end of it, swinging it around. And then, that's how you hunt. This is how you hunt for animals. Take notes, Brother Eric. I know you went with a gun, but pantyhose with flour, that's how you do it. So then the kids team up, and one kid is holding there's a little rope with knots on the end. One kid holds one side of that rope, and the other kid holds the other side of the rope, and they run around the yard trying to catch these animals. Now, there's a piece of this thing I forgot to tell you. Now, the people swinging around the pantyhose things with flour. Tell Brother Chad about this. You guys can play this great game later. These are actually giraffes. And that's their job. Just hit people with this, I guess, what would be considered their neck. So they swing it around. They want to hit. They're going for the kids. And this is the job that I want. You just hit the kids with this flour. And you chase them and hit them. Then you have these animals, which is just other adults. And then you have different levels of animals. You have, you know, like rabbits. Rabbits are pretty fast. They're quick. So you have an adult that this is a rabbit. It's worth a certain amount of points. And maybe you have a younger adult who's a little bit quicker. But then you have the turtles. How many of you would be a turtle? Amen. So the turtles, they're not worth very much points because they're not very hard to catch them. And sometimes the turtles are just sitting on the ground in their shell. Really easy, just go up and tag them. You get points for that. And then you have the lion. The lion's the hardest one to catch. And so the idea is one kid holds one side of the rope, other kid holds the other side of the rope, and they're running around the yard, burning all this energy they have, chasing the adults who don't have that much energy. And they're running also trying to tag animals and not get hit by the giraffe with this giant thing of flour. It's a blast. It's a fun time. The reason I told you this is because when we would play these games, we wouldn't have stipulations. I wouldn't pick out, now you two are going to be teammates, and you're going to have this rope together. And you two, you're going to have a rope together. And then you two guys right here, you're going to have a rope, and you're going to run around together. And then you two guys. And down there on the end, you two guys, you're going to have a rope. You know why I picked all these guys? Because they're friends. That's why they're sitting by each other. They're friends with these people. And so when they would, the kids that would pick the other side of the rope are the people that they're friends with. Well, what Jesus is saying to his disciples, it's beyond just a friendship where, you know, you get along, you have a lot in common. And often that's what brings us together with friends, is we have a lot in common. We, you know, the stars aligned, and we just, you have some children, so do I. You have boys, so do I. You have girls, so do I. Your children aren't very smart, so are mine. No. We just have so much in common. You know, we're close to the same age. We're going through a lot of the same things. We're experiencing a lot of the same deals. And whenever you find somebody like that, you're going through a lot of the same things, you strike up friendship, and it's just easy. It's easy. It's not so easy when you don't have somebody who's going through the same kinds of things that you are. It's a little bit more work in those times. So what Jesus is saying to his disciples here is that they need to develop friendships, and these friendships need to happen whether it's easy or not. It's very, very important for the stability of the ministry, of the mission, for what God has designed for the disciples to accomplish, that they would learn how to love each other and develop friendships and fellowship in their relationships, to have that closeness. The same is true for you and me. We need to learn how to develop friendships and fellowship at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and it's an important part of the mission that God has designed for us to accomplish at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Now, here's what's happening in this text. The disciples hear what Jesus is saying, and it blows past them the point that he's trying to make, because they got stuck on the fact that he said he was going away. So let's just see this, and then we'll get to the main part of it as we go. Look at verse 31. Jesus says, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and he shall straightway glorify him.'" So what's happening here is Judas has left, and this marked the acceleration of the events that were to come. And Jesus is telling them, the disciples, that he is about to be glorified. And what he's talking about is the glorification that would come from the Father when Jesus would die on the cross and be raised from the dead. Glory would be revealed in Christ. It would be revealed who he is. And so the disciples said, or rather Jesus said, that he will be soon glorified. And what he's saying here, it's crystallized in verse 33 when he said, "Little children, yet a little while am I with you." So what he's saying there is that there is just a short amount of time left, and then he's going to be gone. He's going to be gone. Now, I love how he said it. He said, little children. So he's referencing them as as his children. I think this is important because it's like a reference of the love that he has for them and the concern that he has for them and the love that he wants them to learn to have with or for each other. And I can understand that kind of love. I love my children. You love your children. You love these children, even if they're not your children, and the other kids that are in the auditorium. And so we could say, when we're talking about our own children like Jesus, little children. And then he tells them a little while I'm with you. I can see that also this same thing would be true because of the other children that are in our church. We can say that, like Jesus, little children, and the implication there is the love that we have for our kids. So we can understand the feeling, the thought that Jesus is having. He wants them to know, listen, I'm about to go, so what I'm about to tell you is probably one of the most important things you need to learn before I leave. But remember what we said a minute ago. Peter got stuck on the fact that Jesus had said that he was leaving. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. That's what he said in verse 37. So he wasn't understanding why Jesus was going to leave. He wasn't understanding why Jesus needed to die. He didn't understand that he couldn't go along with him. So there's a lot about this he's not understanding. Does that not happen to you and me? Where God desires us to learn how to have a special kind of unity and friendship and fellowship with our church family, whether it's easy for us or not, whether there's somebody here your age going through all the same kind of things that you're going through. I mean, there's nothing here written in between the verses where God gives sort of an addendum and he says, you know, love each other and get close to each other and be there for each other and have fellowship with each other if it's easy, you know, if everything kind of works out about it. If you find somebody that you really click with. He doesn't say that. He says in some of his final words to his disciples, you're going to need this kind of closeness. But Peter himself really, I think, is a voice for all the disciples. He misses it, and he says, why can't I go with you? Why is it that, you know, this has to be an important part of it? So he's missing the importance of what Jesus is saying, and we do that. We miss the importance of what Jesus says about having friends. And we, because of that, we don't reach out to people. Not like we should. We don't develop relationships with people at Valley Avenue Baptist Church like we should. Now, all of you that are here, partly you're here because you have friends here. Partly you're here because you're, and I'm not saying that's why you're here, but partly it's why you're here. You have a desire for God's word. You have a desire for God. You know, or at least I'm hopeful that this is one thing that you understand, that when you come here, you're going to hear God's word. You're going to hear the truth. You're going to hear it unapologetically and with the Lord's help, with grace. You know, I don't want to be a tyrant or anything. I don't want that. I don't want even to come across that way. Brother Tim and I were chatting about that. And so my desire is that you'll hear the truth. You'll hear it unapologetically, and you'll hear it with grace. And so sometimes that motivates us to come to church, to be here faithfully, because we know we're getting God's word. But I think it would be foolish for you and me to neglect the fact that we need closeness in relationships with people within the walls of Valley Avenue Baptist Church if we're gonna see the ministry develop and grow with the longevity that God desires for us to grow with, to be the church, the strength that God wants us to have as a church. Peter missed it, and I think often we do too. We just don't. Instead of seeing it as something that God wants us to engage in developing friendships with the people around us, we see it as something that needs to fall into our lap. We see it as something that needs to... It's not important because, you know, it ought to be easy. I ought to have friends, you know, and it's just, I don't have any friends here. And because I don't have any friends here, I don't fit here. And we don't feel we're connected because we don't have any friends. But here's what Jesus says. you might not have very many friends. You might not feel connected. You know, might not feel because of this that you don't belong. But here's what Jesus is saying. It shouldn't be that way. And so what needs to happen is our point of view, our reference needs to change. And how we're looking at this needs to change. So that we're not just sitting around waiting for people to fall into our lap as good, great, best friends, but that we would develop a heart like the heart that Jesus had when he said to his disciples, little children, my children, those that I love and I'm concerned about and I care for you, that we would develop that heart and go into what he said next, and that is that we would have a kind of love for each other. And like we were saying a minute ago, Peter missed it, and because of that, there was a struggle. There was a struggle for him there to see that. We face in life, we face uncertainties. Families that are opposed to, watch, families that are opposed to, you know, the way that we're doing things in life. We face oppositions. We face struggles because of the way that people view us. And it makes it challenging, I think, to develop in the kind of relationships that God desires us to develop. Some people say it like this: I just feel like I'm being judged, you know. And because of that, it makes it challenging. It makes it challenging. And so at the same time, we're trying to develop into a ministry, a church that is, you know, makes it easy, but is filled with people or has a host of people who catch this vision and start to befriend and get close to people, that we would also see some of that negative side of it to leave, that critical side to leave. If you look close enough into the lives of people, do you know what you'll find? Something to be critical of. Because there isn't anybody in here who doesn't have something that we're either struggling with, ashamed of, or maybe even a sin that we're living in. You look close enough, you'll find a problem. So we got to be careful not to come into relationships with that kind of a spirit, but that we have a heart to understand how important it is that we are the friends that God wants us to be and have the kind of fellowship that God wants us to have. Whenever Melissa and I moved to Fall City, we had no friends. Brother Tim and I were just also talking about this. Amazing how we were talking about so many things I was preaching about tonight. But when we moved here, we didn't have any friends. And so if we're going to have friends, we had to talk to people that we didn't know. You know, have you ever found that it's kind of hard to talk to people and invite them to church and develop relationships with people you don't know who they are, and they don't know who you are? And especially when you're the pastor and they think that you're just wanting their money, which I'm not doing this because I want your money. I promise. I just want to be your friend, you know? And so there was a lot of work that needed to go into this and a lot of effort just at the beginning, just trying to have a friend. We moved here and we had very few people coming to church. And Miss Marilyn, I think you might have been our only friend in those early days. I mean, genuine friend is what I'm talking about. And that was even in development because we were learning each other. We didn't really know each other that well at all. So I remember sitting in the house, looking out the window, watching cars go by and thinking, I'm never going to reach one person in this town. I mean, I thought that. And then I remember playing in the yard before we had the wood fence, the picket fence around our yard. We had a big pile of leaves, and I was Caleb or Grant or somebody. I was throwing them into the, you know how you do one, two, three, and throw them in there. It's just probably a rock at the bottom. Anyway, that's some of the problem I'm thinking. But throw them into the leaves, and they're like, yeah, and they land in the leaves, and then they come out. And then I tackle them in the leaves, you know, not hard, playful, you see. And then there's a guy over here on the other side of the street who's watching me that I didn't know he was watching me. He was right in front of the high school, stopped at the stoplight, watching me for like 5 minutes play with my kids. And I didn't know he was doing that. And then I was continuing to play with my kids. And then he drove out right by the house rolled his window down and yelled at me and said if he saw me tackle my kids again, he was calling the cops on me. And I thought to myself, did that really just happen? Like I had to stop and just sort of slap myself maybe and just realize that that actually just happened. No way that guy just said that. Really? Like I'm playing with my kids and you say that? And I thought, is that how everybody in Fall City is? Well, when you don't know anybody and that happens, don't you know the devil gets in your head and tells you, well, if that's how Fall City is going to be, that everybody's like that in Fall City. I don't even want to be here. The point I'm making is we didn't have any friends and we didn't really have any prospects either. So what did we need to do? We need to apply this. Can I tell you that if we're going to have a strong church, which we need to have, this is a foundation, what Jesus said. Now let's take a look at it. Let's not miss this. Verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. I love it. A new commandment. Meaning, hey, this one's kind of not old. This one's new. That was deep, wasn't it? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So clearly, there's so many things happening here. So number one, he says, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. So clearly God wants us, he's talking to us, you and me, okay? We're disciples, not just these guys, that's you and me. So he says, love one another. So right out of the gate, if there's somebody on the other side of the aisle in front of you or behind you and you hate them or you're mad at them and you're whatever, then we're already on the wrong path for what Jesus said. We cannot have the church God wants us to have the strength and the ability to grow the way God wants us to grow, if we have these frictions between each other. So then Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 5, you can check it out later. What do you do with offenses? What do you do when you're mad? What do you do when you are hurt or you're struggling or there's friction between you and somebody in the church? Well, Jesus said, he makes it easy actually. He said, go to them. Well, how long do you have to wait? Zero time. Call them, text them, go to their house. I mean, it might be an inappropriate time, like if it's 3 a.m, that's not a good time. But go to them as soon as possible and say, hey, listen, I know the other day when I punched you in the face, no, I didn't do that, but there's obviously something going on between us. Is there something wrong? Can we talk about it? Or maybe you already know what it is. Hey, remember the other day I said something and I know that I hurt your feelings and I want you to know I'm really sorry about that. Either I didn't mean it or it came out wrong, which for me, it's usually what it is. I just did not mean it to come out like that. You know when you said it and then you heard what you just said because you said it and you realize, wow, that did not come out like I thought it would. I thought it would be funny. It wasn't funny. But it hurts people's feelings. Sometimes we don't do that on purpose, but it happens. So what do we do? If we want to remain in the kind of loving church family that God wants us to have, then we go to them and we deal with these offenses. Don't wait. Don't gossip. Don't talk about your issue with somebody else in the church, with somebody else. That causes divisions. Read Proverbs. You'll get it. I won't deal with that. You just go to them, talk to them, do it in faith, and you know what? God blesses it every time. I've never had a time when I didn't just do what God said as it relates to dealing with offenses and go straight to the person, whether they're offended or I'm offended, and just go straight to them that God didn't put his blessings on it, especially when I didn't want to go to them. How many of you do not like confrontations? You do not like it. Most hands. Great. Well, there I am too. I'll raise both hands. And that's not good because I'm the pastor. I have to always deal with confrontational kind of things. But we don't do it because we feel like it. We don't go to them. Guys, stop talking. We don't go to them because it's easy or because we're comfortable with it. We go to them because Jesus said so. This is how you deal with offenses. You go to them, so you do it in faith, and God blesses it. And we need this. We need this love. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. So we need to have this kind of love for each other. Okay. Then he said this. Look what he said next. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So that's a pretty high bar, pretty high standard that we would love each other like Christ loved us. I mean, we can't reach that standard, can we? When was the last time you died on a cross and rose again the third day for somebody? And I know I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but he did for us what we could never do for someone else. Now, here's what Jesus says. I'm willing to forgive somebody. You be willing to forgive somebody. Love each other. Then he said this in verse 35. I love this verse. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Why does it matter what all men think about us? Why does it matter? Would Jesus say this? Why would he say, when the world sees how much you care for each other and the kind of fellowship that you have, when they see that, they're going to know that you're my disciples. Why does it even matter? Because this is one way that God allows us to be a testimony to this lost world. Whenever there's friction and division in the church, we cannot win people to Christ. We can't be the testimony and fulfill the mission that God has designed for us to fulfill. And so what Jesus says that you need, when he says you need to love each other, the world makes observations of this, and it makes a difference in the growth of the church. We want the church to grow, right? That's why we bought these chairs. Last time I checked, we didn't pack the chairs out yet. 126, we haven't even gotten close to that since we got them. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been going down in numbers. Now, I understand there's sickness and there's this and then that, and there's some people spiritually hurting, and I get it, it happens. But if you want to grow, let's talk about growing in numbers. Do you think that we're just going to grow in numbers if we don't have the kind of love that God has designed for us to have and commanded us, a new commandment that I have given unto you, that you love one another, and we don't fulfill this commandment and love each other, that we're going to be able to grow? Can't happen. It's like a building. How many of you contractors in here? You have this little foundation, like little bitty foundation, and it's not even that strong. And you start growing, numbers, oh, we had 50. Remember whenever we thought we'd never hit 30, Melissa, Miss Marilyn? Sunday nights, look around, Miss Marilyn, it's amazing. Remember for 3-4 years it was just you, or at least 2 years it was just you, and then it was you and Brother Eric for all the rest of that. Two people. And I said in sermons, now I know, Miss Marilyn, you're the only one here. I know it feels like I'm preaching only to you. I am. And we would tease about that. I would actually say that in my sermon. But look what God has done. But here's what I want you to understand. We want to keep growing, right? Which means more people come, more people come, more people come. You've been bringing guests. We've had probably, I would say, close to 140 first-time guests, never been here before since January. That's amazing. I said that to a couple of my pastor friends in South Dakota, because when you brag about stuff, those are the kinds of things you say. Like, yeah, we had 140-something first-time guests, you know. And flexing, right. And I don't mean to, you know, be ego about it, but I'm just excited, you know, and it is true. So I'll just try to encourage somebody with that. But think about it. What if all our normal people showed up and then all 140 of our guests showed up? We'd be in trouble, right? But think about this with me. You have this little foundation. Do you know what this little foundation is? This little foundation represents all the people in here who actually love each other. You know, it's not as big as it needs to be. What do you mean? Well, I mean there's some people who are either members of our church or pretty faithful, who need to be members, you know, but pretty faithful, but they don't love like they should. Or they don't feel like they connect. Can I say that... For us to say that I don't have a friend here, you're just telling on yourself. Because Proverbs says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So if you say, I don't have any friends here, and I'm not being mean to you, I'm just stating reality, you're telling on yourself that you're not loving like you should. It's not about whether somebody clicks with you. It's whether or not you're following Jesus and being the kind of friend that God has desired you and has called you and commanded you to be. And so let's just put that right there at the front. And so if somebody isn't being the kind of friend and loving like they should, they might say, I don't have a friend there. I don't have connection. I don't feel like I belong, and you and I understand they're telling on themselves, okay? And so what does that leave us with at Valley Avenue Baptist Church? Little foundation. What happens, Brother Eric? You don't have to be a mechanical engineer to figure this one out. Little foundation. What happens the taller you get? Eventually you're going to get top heavy. And what happens when you get too much? The top falls off. Do you not see what's going to happen at Valley Avenue Baptist Church over and over and over? We're going to grow to 100 and then top falls off, back down to 60. Grow to 100, top falls off, back down to 50, back down to 60. Well, is this always the way that it works? Well, pretty much. Because you can't grow when you have a little foundation. There's two foundations. The one we're talking about tonight, fellowship, friends. We need to have friends. We need to be close to each other. As a church, you need to be connected. Don't wait before you make a natural connection. You know, Kemper and me, we're buddies. We just really clicked. Well, I mean, yeah, Kemper's my buddy. Well, I think so. I like Kemper. We're friends. But do we have this natural sort of click as friends, you know? Maybe not like these two guys or these two guys or these two down here. Or, you see what I mean? There's natural sort of connections. But what if that doesn't happen? Well, I just don't fit here. I just don't belong. I just need to... Valley Avenue Baptist Church isn't the church for me. Well, that's not the case at all. You know what's amazing? Melissa would always give me a hard time, always give me a hard time about this. And I think maybe God's been working on my heart about this particular thing for years and years and years and years, all the way since I was a teenager. I just had this ability. I don't know, it's not an ability. I think it's something that happened when God just got a hold of my heart. That I just decided who was going to be my friend. I just decided you're going to be my friend, whether you like it or not. I made efforts that way. And so when I was a youth director, there was some kids in the youth group that were full-fledged nerds. Full-fledged, not 99% nerds, 110%. They were all in. So with that, they didn't have a lot of friends, but do you know what they did have in me? A friend, and a genuine friend. I actually liked to be around them. My wife would make fun of me. Not make fun of me, I'm making you look like a bad guy now. I didn't mean it that way. See what I mean? I say things, and then it come out right. But she would give me a hard time. She's like, man, I would say, I would genuinely wonder, like, why don't people like to be around that guy? He's pretty cool. And she's like, what are you talking about? He's totally not cool. You know, he's nerd, full on. I'm like, I don't know. I guess I just didn't see it, you know. Maybe I'm a nerd. Maybe we did click. I don't know. I didn't understand the computer stuff, so I don't think I fit. But so what I'm saying is, God, it's an excuse to say I don't have friends. Can we agree about that? It's just an excuse. If you say you don't belong, that's an excuse. If you say that I don't connect, it's an excuse. And it all takes you to the same place as either contributed to a small foundation or eventually being part of the top that falls off. Because the people who fall off the top are the people who don't fit. But they could have. And so what do we need to do with that foundation? We need to make it like a pyramid. You know, it's amazing that the pyramids were built thousands of years ago, but they're still there. Pretty amazing, right? How did that happen? The foundation is as wide as it is tall. We need to build the foundation. Here's the point. If everybody in this room decided that you were going to be a friend and not wait for a friend, then immediately, however many people are in this room would be how big our foundation is. And we can grow on top of that. And when you have a church that's filled with people who love each other, it encourages more people to love each other. And then the foundation gets wider. You know what? Then when we have that kind of a foundation, when we hit however many people, 100, let's say 100 people, which by the way, it's not all about how many people we have, but let's say we get 100, then the top won't fall off because the base is big. And we can build that base stronger, and then there can be more people. Okay. So there is the dynamic of a strong and healthy and growing church. It's a church that has friends and fellowships. And that's precisely what we need. Let me read to you an illustration, and then I'll have you turn to Proverbs and we'll be done. Illustration. We were at the zoo at one point and saw an interesting sign. And the sign said, I wrote everything on the sign out. It was really neat. It said, predator alert. And then it said this, mixed species herds benefit each other in many ways. Herds offer protection from predators. Did you get that? Herds, groups of animals together, offer protection from predators. An alert from one animal may send the whole herd to flight. Animals in different species are attentive to both visual and vocal warning signals from each other. This gives them time to locate the predator and warn others in this mixed herd. The point is that an animal is safer when he's in the herd. Pretty amazing. And the imagery is true for our church. Our church is safer, you're safer individually when you're connected, to the herd, the flock that God has called you to be a part of. Hey, let's just decide that we're going to be a friend and not wait for a friend. See, I don't have any friends. I don't have natural... Hey, it doesn't matter. Be a friend. Be genuine. I mean, don't be a fake one. But really care about each other. But be a friend. Just become friends with somebody. And you know what? God will use that to broaden the base. Prepare us for the kind of growth. You know what? I'm done right now. This isn't in my notes at all. Actually, a lot of what I said tonight wasn't in my notes, but anyway. I taught Sunday school this morning on the attacks of Satan. And the Lord led to that. I think the devil's attacking Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Now, I can't say that I have some kind of a spiritual insight, you know, like I got it all figured out, you know. I don't, but I sense that some of our people are really going through some struggles that I can't put my finger on it other than this seems like the devil is trying to discourage people at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Now think about that with me. Melissa, you said this the other day. Would the devil attack this church if something great wasn't already happening? No, look what God's doing here. The devil isn't happy about it. He wants this thing to fall apart. And I prayed this afternoon. I said, God, you already defeated the devil. I'm not afraid of him. You just take care of him. You bind him up. You cast him out. You take care of that situation. Help us to be the church you want us to be. And this is the first, I think, tonight, first step that we're going to talk more about. Fellowship and friendship. Fellowship and friendship. You say, I don't click. That's an excuse. Fellowship and friendship. You decide that you're going to make the connections. You become friends. Broaden the base. And watch God continue to do what He has already been doing. I'm excited about it. Bow with me if you would. Father, tonight we're thankful for Your Word and for the promise of Your Word that, that You're faithful and You're working in our church, working in our people. And we're seeing things happen that's just miraculous. The devil's fighting and that's, I think it's just obvious. But a lot of this is a direct result of the fact that You're doing a great work. And so I pray tonight that You'd help us to make not just a kind of natural connection and friendship, but to be a friend and to broaden the base so that we might, and all not for us or our benefit necessarily, although we will be blessed, but that we might see more people saved. I think like everyone here, I do not care that we just have a lot of people. I want to see people saved. And more people means more people to be saved. And so I pray that You'd help us to have that kind of faith and trust. And if, Lord, we've been using these things as excuses tonight, You know the needs. Would You convict us and help us to repent? Help us to trust You. And we'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.